is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George, and I guess this is day one after Obamacare has started, and it was kind of funny yesterday to see all of the exchanges that are just up, kind of up, but not going. And I read this great quote from one of the readers of that article, and he said, "You can't, if it doesn't work, you can't, it doesn't matter, you can't fix what doesn't work," which I thought was really very telling and apropos of what's going on and what's about to happen under Obamacare. You know, I don't really have any love for Congress, I have to tell you, Democrat or Republican. But the last minute effort of the Republicans to cut a deal where they would stop the medical device tax, I don't know if delay Obamacare was even in there anymore for a month, but it was reasonable. And knowing how badly, I don't even know if they beta tested the thing to tell you the truth, but to know how badly this thing was about to go off and all of the people that were going to be affected by it, if the Democrats really cared about patient care and about having people enter a system that's at least workable and safe instead of just winning and, you know, getting a notch in their belt for sticking it to the Republicans, then maybe, you know, maybe I might have had some hope that somehow this bill could be improved down the road. I don't hope, but not, it's not dramatic hope, but it's some sort of hope that we're not going to go down the toilet with the rest of socialized medicine worldwide. But this is just about one-upsmanship more, and the president getting on and gloating, Kathleen Sebelius saying that, you know, basically we won and tough and now we're going to see some real change. Yeah, she's right. We're going to see some real change. We're going to see hospitals close. We're going to see patients who have insurance but can't afford to use it. We're going to see indigent people who used to get charity care won't get that anymore. And the senior citizens who have Medicare are not even going to be able to access half of the power of the Medicare system. Bernie Sanders got up in Congress a couple of days ago and talked about how fabulous Social Security and Medicare was, and it was one of the crowning achievements, and I'm not quoting directly, but basically is what he said, of Congress. And I almost fell out of my chair laughing. You know, Dave, I think you're of the age right now where you're taking Medicare, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Are you finding that you can still do what you like and your doctor is?
Our Medicare is our secondary. We still have insurance and we'll continue to have insurance for the next few years anyway.
Well, you might find that, at least if people come to my office and they have Medicare as a secondary because I don't take Medicare, they have to come out of pocket because they don't have a secondary coverage. So that may still affect seniors, even though they don't have Medicare as their primary insurance. And I don't know. I've said it before, and I honestly believe this. This is done by design. This was not something that really was a workable bill or law from the beginning. And the fact that the Congress people admitted that they never read it, and you had to pass it to find out what was in it, should have alerted us that this may not be in our interest as a country to have this go on. There's a website that I went to yesterday that gives a listing of all the layoffs and, you know, firings and all of the downsizing of the job market in the country. It was pretty staggering to see $8,000 people being let go from Merck, which is a huge pharmaceutical company. And that's just beginning. I mean, the list was endless of layoffs and people made part-time, and the economy is just going down the tubes. And if you listen to anybody on TV, it's like it's booming and it's growing, and I don't know how they can say that and really, and with a straight face, because people out there are living their lie, basically. What do you think about yesterday? Was it traumatic for you as it was for me?
I think it was typical. you know, there were people that went to the website to try to find out about exchanges. Well, it's a government website, and what do you expect? It was shut down. It wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
I had a long talk with several people yesterday regarding what's going on, and I don't know if this is going to be the beginning of the end, or, you know, we're in so much trouble and people don't understand it. It's more than just Obamacare. We can't continue to write checks with no money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I am very concerned, to say the least. And anything, in my opinion, anything that they do is a Band-Aid and doesn't fix anything.
I agree. I mean, as long as they print money, it's just a matter of time before we get hit with the actual bill, and it's going to be dramatic. The costs are going to go sky high.
Well, when I said I had insurance, it's gone up 33% and less services.
Hmm. I definitely believe that. And I've been fighting with Blue Cross Blue Shield for the last month on now three patients. It started with one. It's now up to three patients, where they just deny. They don't even allow you to give an argument. I mean, they ask you for an appeal, you send it in, and they didn't even read it. And I had a long conversation. Well, not very long, because I was kind of get off the phone as fast as possible. But I called Blue Cross on the most recent patient that got denied care. And she's reading from a script, and she's asking me questions that have nothing to do with why the patient needs to have the service done. And I had to stop her for one moment and say, stop reading the script. I just told you that I went through the entire system, sent the appeal letter in, and I haven't heard anything back. And then she still continues. I mean, she went back on the script.
That's all they know.
It was like a robot. Do people think that it's going to get any better under Obamacare? It's not. And I really have a sinking suspicion, just like with Social Security. Remember, you're paying into the system before it's fully implemented. As of yesterday, technically, you're mandated to pay into the system, and the full benefit of it, if there is one, won't come online until 2015 up to 2020. So you're paying in, and it's like a lockbox almost. I really have – I'm very suspicious that money is actually going to be used, all of it, for health care. I think it's going to be used for other things. We already see it being used for other things already, like campaigns, like ad campaigns. And they took $700 million out at the beginning from Medicare just to siphon it into Obamacare, you know, into their infrastructure. And it's enormous. Apparently, I was watching a show last night. They said when you call into the exchanges, like you can do it online, but you can also call a number. There's 151 languages that are spoken. How many people do you have to hire just for that? That's not about patient care. It's about bureaucracy. And it's just going to get bigger. You have to have a policeman to make sure that you're not lying on your information that you give. That means they've hired, and they were supposed to hire people to work in HHS, but they hired inspectors, which it's all about the law. I mean, it's all about basically controlling you, but it's now the carrot. It will be the big club coming down the pipe. On that message, you're listening to Medicine on Call.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that eating too little and skipping meals can actually cause you to gain weight? When you do not take enough calories in, your body can actually stop you from losing weight. Your body works best when it is adequately fueled. If you fail to eat enough, your metabolism will slow down and your body will become stressed and actually hold on to fat. This will lead to muscle loss instead of fat. Exercise and lightweight training will increase endurance and muscle mass and will boost both your metabolism and your sense of well-being. Eat three well-rounded meals a day containing a lean protein, fiber, and a complex carbohydrate, such as a whole grain, with two snacks, such as fruits or nuts. These will promote healthy weight loss that is long-term. Prior to starting an exercise program, remember to see your doctor if you have any medical problems. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. Yesterday we had the beginning of Obamacare, and not only were the exchanges a disaster, but it turns out that you can actually see that the existing insurance companies are changing their paradigm. There are 10 states that or have the existing healthcare plans change. So in other words, if you had a health plan that had certain benefits, after the exchanges opened, those insurance companies no longer offered those plans. So that statement of if you like your insurance, you can keep it was actually not correct. And people are finding that the cheapest plans are no longer available. One, because there's so many mandates that have to be met that the insurance companies, I mean, obviously it's about their bottom line. They can't keep their premiums low enough and offer the mandated services. And therefore they've just left the exchanges. And those that are still in them actually don't offer at all those plans. So they've decided, okay, we're going to raise our premiums, but we're just going to raise our premiums to follow the mandate and not give the people a break in terms of their cost. And the states that they mentioned were California, Missouri, Connecticut, Maryland, South Carolina, New York, New Jersey, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Georgia. And I'm sure there's going to be more states that come online that actually change the access to patients getting quality health care via insurance. This is just another example when I stated that health care, having health insurance does not equal getting health care. And it's becoming plainly obvious. And the people who get on the robots and the proponents of Obamacare who just keep saying the same thing over and over again, you can keep your kid on until they're 26. You can't be turned away for pre-existing conditions. You get mammograms covered. That's the least of it. I mean, if you're lucky, if you can have insurance to keep that in line, I find that, and I can say that, I've had a patient get denied care or actually have not paid me and not have their services actually approved by the insurance company because they have a pre-existing condition. And I have to send paperwork to document that that condition, did not exist prior to them seeing me in my office. We're now 3 years into Obamacare, so if pre-existing conditions don't count, I should never have gotten a letter like that. And I'm sure it's going to get worse before it gets better, if it gets better at all. Insurance companies are under the gun. They are responsible to their shareholders, and their fiduciary responsibility is to make sure the company makes money. It's not to make sure that you get your cataract surgery or your sinus surgery or anything like that. And they are putting in place all sorts of hurdles and benchmarks that have to be met, arbitrary, by the way, that doctors, hospitals are going to have to start going through in order to get coverage or to have a procedure done on a patient that they deem appropriate. I'm going to give you an example from my perspective now. There's a patient, plenty of patients in my office who need sinus surgery. They've been denied on the on our pre-certification process. I've gone through an appeal, and it's been denied again. And I came to find out that the person denying it is not an ear, nose, and throat doctor. He's an internist. I spoke with the representative, and she told me, oh, sure, man, you're lucky you didn't get an orthopedic surgeon or a neurologist. This is ridiculous. How can somebody who's not even in the specialty deny care just because they're carrying the water for the insurance company? It's got nothing to do with medicine or science or anything that actually counts in terms of denial. It's arbitrary. And imagine taking that away from the insurance company, which is bad enough, putting it in the hands of government, HHS, for example, or as Obamacare is written, the universal health care czar, which they have never to this point nominated, but eventually there will be somebody in that position who will get to decide the ultimate arbiter of whether or not a procedure, a medication, anything that's related to patient care gets approved. And that person's not going to be the part of the specialty that you may have the problem with. That person may not even be a doctor. Who knows? So we have now a gatekeeper, an ultimate gatekeeper, that will absolutely work against doctors and patients, because it's all about money. It's about money from the get-go, and it's about controlling the money. What people were sold, that it's going to be free, you can keep your doctor, you can get something for nothing. The people are holding on to that belief or that hope or that prayer. It's not going to happen. It wasn't supposed to happen from the beginning. But what it is a transfer of wealth, and they were right from the beginning. This is change, but it's not what people can believe in. It's a change in our absolute bedrock of our society, where those who are friends of the administration, and we've seen this with big business, we've seen it with the unions, we've seen it with various powerful corporate interests, like the pharmaceutical industry, the medical insurance industry, the hospital industry, where they get to write the rules of the game and everybody else has to go along with it. I think we've actually come to a point now where we should be pretty conscious that what they say and what they do are two different things. And every time they get caught in a lie, and they could be anybody in the government, they demonize the person who calls them on it, basically lies whole cloth in your face, expecting you to just take it. Or they double down. You know, this is a bigger picture than healthcare. And at this point, I think Dave mentioned it at the beginning of the show, we're at a turning point in our country, and I don't know what's going to happen. But it's obvious to me that the government is working against the interests of the American people. I don't know if people knew this, but during the course of this whole debate, this whether you should defund or not, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, signed a treaty, a UN treaty, on gun control, which is completely illegal. That's not the job. Only the Congress can sign treaties, not the Secretary of State. Hillary Clinton tried it a couple years back, and she got blocked. But now we had so many things going on with, you know, we were distracted as a country on this argument of this Obamacare that they just pushed it through, didn't say a thing. And in that bill, there was other little bombs in the bill, such as the Monsanto Protection Act, which allows Monsanto, like the pharmaceutical industry, to get a pass and to be exempted from being sued for their genetically modified crops. That means it's going to be on, just like before when before the vaccine companies got immunity. They rarely made a vaccine. It became hard to get a vaccine. As soon as the Congress passed this immunity bill under George Bush, it was free for all. We have vaccines for everything you could shake a stick at. And they've become mandated in certain instances for kids to go to school, for some hospital workers or even vendors to enter hospitals to work. And it's become just this control grid, a mercenary pipeline where money goes into a corporation under the auspices of government mandates. So I can only imagine what will happen now that the Monsanto Act is been passed by Congress, or at least for the short period here during this continuing resolution thing. Potentially what they can do is they can whole, you know, just wholesale, keep putting genetically modified crops into our food supply. They're not tested. They're not safe. That's a whole show that we will have in the future again, so that people understand that the health risks of these genetically modified foods are no joke. And once you eat these, it affects you genetically, maybe irreversibly. And it's a chance and highly likely that it causes cancer. So we're seeing an explosion of cancer in our country. You have to wonder why. Is it the food that we're eating? And is it the things that we're putting into our body, our chemicals on our skin, that everybody in the government says is safe, but isn't? So once this bill gets passed, they get to do whatever they like. And if there's a problem, let's say 5 years from now, they find out that genetically modified corn causes abortions or stillbirths or genetic defects, congenital defects, you can't sue them. And you're stuck. You've got an injured child, injured adult, a loved one who's gone, and they just get a pass. But they get to make money all the way down the road. And I have issue, take issue with that. And the Congress is so interested in holding on to power and gaming each other to get into the next round of elections that they're not paying any attention to what we're asking them to do, which is to actually protect us, work for us, not against us, not be agents of the UN, and not destroy our country. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. We were breaking down Obamacare and how it inserts itself into the bigger picture of government centralizing its power at the expense of Americans. And I think your health is one of the most important assets that you have. If you don't have that, you can't be a productive citizen. You can't work. You can't enjoy your fruits of your labor. I mean, that's what living is all about. And the freedom to choose, to make a choice of your health care, about your health care, with your physician, with your family, is absolutely being removed in this system under the guise of helping everybody. And as soon as you decide to say, speak up, you're called selfish. I heard this last night. People were called selfish for not wanting to pay two or three times what they pay now for health insurance. That, what kind of statement is that? So I'm supposed to go into the poorhouse, pay this into a sinkhole in the government, and hope that they'll actually share it or actually use it for patient care for people who need it. It's laughable. They have never done anything. It starts off in a good with good intentions, but it goes into all sorts of areas that are bureaucratic, lots of graft, lots of fraud. We actually found out now that some of the navigators, I don't know how much, $200 million, some huge amount of money was given to one of these navigators who has a history of fraud. You know? I mean,
it just came out today, by the way, that there's $67 million missing in the Obamacare slush fund.
Yeah, the IRS, wasn't it? It was. Yeah, I think it's the IRS. They're missing money. They're supposed to have money to actually help set up the infrastructure for scoping out people who are cheating the system, but they can't keep a tab of $67 million. And they were asked, they said, we don't know. And it's gone. And they're asking for more money to top it off. That was my favorite. We need more money because we haven't fully implemented it yet. What did you do with this money? Party with it? Make videos? This is exactly what happens with when the government gets involved. Look at this, the post office. They're asking for more money too. How can they? What are they doing with the money? And I see commercials for post office, how fabulous they are on TV. Maybe they should stop advertising and use that money for running a proper system. I actually sent something by express mail overnight. Never got there.
You know, and it's funny that you mentioned that because on my Facebook page today, or America's Web Radio Facebook page, I put in somebody had made a comment about calling and all that and that the website was down. And I put in, well, what do you expect from the government? This only proves that this poor Obamacare people took Post Office 101.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. When, in your opinion, do you think people are going to say enough?
Probably within the next 6 months, when they can't say anymore that it's a glitch in the IT system, and you know they can't keep using their escape arguments that it's overwhelmed by too many people getting in, you know, accessing it. Apparently the money that they quote for premiums is not correct. It's basically if you get one, it's under. They underestimated it because they haven't really figured out, the insurance companies themselves haven't figured out what their baseline is for break even when they set an insurance premium. So it's still in flux. So if they quote you something, good luck actually having that be the thing that you pay when you start really going into the process of getting the insurance. And again, I've said this last week, just because you carry the premium or pay the premium, you have other payments that are coming that you have to do too, like the coinsurance, the deductible. And the deductible means that you have a certain amount of money, $1,500, $2,000, $5,000. Under the bronze plan, it's $2,000. That has to be paid out of pocket before the coinsurance kicks in. And coinsurance locks in for the entire year. So that means this is 60% that the insurance company will pay, 40% that you have to pay. So that's a lot of money. We're talking, depends on how ill you are, at minimum $2,000, and there's no cap. Remember, they delayed the cap of what a person can pay out of pocket. That could be endless. So that basically means that if you are of modest means and you can afford, good luck to you, paying the premium, you still may not be able to afford seeing the doctor because of the other side of what you owe. They don't mention that. All they talk about is you can have your kid on for 26, until they're 26, and you can get mammograms. Yeah, okay. So I'm going to pay $2,500, let's say, a year. And that's conservative. You know, if you have any problems, it's going to be more than that. On top of my premium, and maybe I've been downsizing my job because they can't afford to give me Obamacare, so I now work 20 hours a week instead of 35. What planet are these people living on? I'm just curious.
There's the other side of the coin, too, is the poor business guy. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard now of, you know, people have called their insurance, asked for help. They don't get help there. They're sitting there saying, you know, I don't want to cut my people back, but I don't know, you know, nobody's explained it to me well. It's just like they keep saying, it's a train wreck. And
it's a train wreck for patients and doctors. It's not a train wreck for the government. They get to capture your money while this fiasco is unfolding. So they win.
That's true.
And even if you don't do the exchange, you still have to come out of pocket of at least $97 a year, which that just makes me upset that you're paying for nothing, for the privilege of getting nothing, while the poor suckers who think they're going to get something are also paying for the privilege of more money, for the privilege of getting nothing, and like it. I mean, this is I gave an example of what I'm fighting now for excellent, proper patient care. I'm getting roadblocked by the insurance company. According to them, when they say no, I don't have any recourse. That's what I've been told. I can't get an ENT to a peer review. I just have to take it from an internal medicine doctor. Well, I'm going to the insurance commissioner next, and I won't have that weapon in my arsenal when it comes down to the exchanges and when government runs stuff. I can't do this with a Medicare patient. When they turn me down, there is no appeal. It's done. Medicaid, too, done. And that's exactly how this is going to run in this system.
Does that sound anything like a death panel? The next step?
If 1% of Obamacare funds have been siphoned off for hospice care, that's a lot of money. They're not interested in acute care. They're not interested in actually curing somebody with a disease that may cost the system money. They're not interested in that. They want you to learn that your lifespan may be shorter than you think, and there's no other heroic measures that should be taken for you because you're costing everybody too much money. They want you to feel like you're not worthy of living a good quality life if you choose that you want to go that way. If people don't want, to be kept alive with drips and tubes, then I understand that, but that's their choice. It's not the government's choice, and it should never be a doctor's choice without consultation with the family just to do it to you. And that's what's going on. It goes on in the UK all the time.
If you don't mind, I'd like to segue into or ask you the question. Obviously, we got a over 20,000 page document that, even if somebody's read it, I can't imagine anybody could remember everything that was in it. I couldn't. In fact, I know I couldn't. But let's back off a second and say, and I have a real case against the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could get a mainstream media to take it, and we could do a show on Obamacare day in and day out almost, but at least inform the public of where it is and how bad it is and all the aspects of it, or many of the aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we could get a mainstream media channel or network to do that?
Maybe Fox, but I doubt MSNBC or any other CBS or ABC. I mean, they are invested in supporting the movement forward of this bill. And they're locked into and completely invested in the arguments that divide us. There is no way to debate this with these people, because the first thing you start debating, you're racist, you're sexist, you want people to die. That's how they start off their argument. You can't argue with people who already take that position. They're unwilling to even listen to the fact that, okay, you have health insurance now, but be aware that the person won't be able to afford to get the health care that they signed up for. And this is why. They don't want to hear that. And then you have the unions who could care less, really, about anybody else but themselves. And they got double dealt, okay? Because those guys had the Cadillac plans, the ones where you had PPOs. You can go wherever you like. You don't need a gatekeeper. You don't need to go through your primary care physician. Basically, out-of-pocket expenses were very low, if none. And under Obamacare, those guys are that particular kind of plan gets an excise tax of 40% under Obamacare, which would price all of them out of that plan. They can't stand that. Maybe they didn't read the bill either, but that was in it from the beginning. But they thought they were special. They were friends. They were going to get carved out. They helped get this administration elected, and now they want payback. And I think somebody said this really appropriately. Right now, they're on the outs. They're not getting what they want. But I believe when this all blows over, he'll make a quiet exemption again for them. That's why they're not still yelling or marching, because they're going to get what they want in the end by playing bully politics. Everybody's getting paid in this except the American patient and the American doctors and the American medical system. What people don't realize is that the argument for defunding Obamacare is kind of moot, actually. This is the last piece of this puzzle. This has been going into effect for 3 years, and the health system is completely changed. When I graduated back in 98, and when I went to medical school in 96, 94, there was no – this was completely different. Doctors actually saw their patients in the hospital. They rounded. The nurses were part of the team. They were not the front line. PAs really didn't exist. And patients knew their doctor. They actually could speak English as a first language. And it was different. Now we're talking about – I saw a commercial that really – I was floored. Emory put a commercial on that talked about how we're all in it together. And their claim to fame was that they were training nurse practitioners and physician assistants to work in critical care. Are you kidding? You're bragging about the fact that your ICUs no longer have doctors running them? Are you kidding me? You're going to train someone who went to school for 2 years to run an ICU? When I trained, and I did run them as a resident, it was me, anesthesia, nurses, and the physicians, attendings, who came in every day, rounded on their patient. We set a game plan, and I had to follow it. And when it was me at night, just me covering that unit, then I had to know what was going on physiologically, you know, the whole nine yards, and be able to actually fix it. I'm sorry, but I don't trust the PA has that kind of technique or experience to do that, or a nurse. And I've had nurses tell me that they stopped being ICU nurses because they were asked to do things that they felt uncomfortable with, running lines, you know, running critical care, unstable patients without a doctor there. Just unbelievable. This is what Obamacare wrought, because it was about the money. And they saw the writing on the wall. And what healthcare is now doing is putting the cheapest version, it's outsourcing, putting the cheapest version of healthcare out there, because they want to make their bottom line too. The hospitals are running on a profit. They have a fiduciary responsibility to their directors. And if that means hiring 10 PAs, which equal one critical care doctor, one specialist, they're going to do that. And they're going to, you know, put them on some algorithm. If it's wet, dry it. If it's dry, wet it. It's just, I hope nobody gets sick. That's all I have to say. Because it's not going to end well. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody.
Maybe you should.
Well, no, it's not about fear. It's about taking power over your own destiny. And I said this last week on the show. I think if you're prepared and you actually mentally, physically prepare for whatever, then they can't keep throwing fear tactics at you and have you run from one extreme to the other like a pendulum, never actually understanding what's going on, but being a victim and not even realizing it. You know, the people who want and hope that things happen, it's magical thinking, people. It's delusional. If you open your eyes and see what they're doing, not what they say, but what actually what's going on, you would realize that this system is never going to work. It's a Ponzi scheme. They want all these people to pay into it, and they're quietly. If you're not, it's not quietly. If you're in the healthcare profession and you work day to day, you see what they're doing. But people on the outside don't get to see. They're cutting access. They're cutting access to good medication. They're cutting access to alternative treatments like supplements and integrative medicine. They're cutting access to things that potentially will improve your quality of life. If you can't see, getting a cataract surgery would be a major improvement in your quality of life, or getting a knee replacement or a hip replacement. Things that actually improve your quality of life, not just warehouse you. They don't care about that. They want you to just die, you know, to just take it, to just be happy. You've lived a good quality of life. Now you're at the end of it. Just be happy.
You know, part of that, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, but okay, you've got your health panels, your death panels, whatever. Okay, I'm 40 years old and I need a hip replacement, and I've been paying the government taxes pretty well.
Oh yeah.
So they'll say, yeah, go ahead and give that guy, because he's got another 20 years that he can pay taxes. I'm 66 years old and need a hip replacement, and they say, nah, you know, he's probably paid all the taxes he's going to pay anyway. Mm-hmm. So don't give him. Is that basically the way you see things operating?
Yeah, it's about the people who are able to contribute. That's what Ezekiel Emanuel's complete live system is all about. It's about being, what's it, 16 to like 45 or something, where all of the healthcare money should be spent, because those people are functional and viable and can participate in society, economically, et cetera. And if you're too little, then you're not doing anything. And if you're a senior citizen, you've already done it and you've outlived your usefulness. You're absolutely right. That is what we're talking about. And it's eugenics and it's all sorts of things that the government gets to decide who wins and who loses. And it's a great, great quote that I put into my BlackBerry. People cannot be deceived unless they are willing. So I don't really have a ton of sympathy for people who see this thing unfold and continue to just spout off talking points. Then they're complicit in this. They want this to go on, and they could care less, or they think that they're special and it won't apply to them. It applies to everybody at some point, unless you are, you know, a congressman or the president or somebody who's really an insider, or you have a ton of money.
If you have a ton of money and you can fly to another
country. Oh, yeah. You don't have to fly. You just have a doctor come to you. Okay. That doesn't apply to you.
Okay. Well, no. Now let me ask you that. I fly a doctor in, but he didn't have privileges at Northside.
Mm.
What do you do then?
Well, then you're going to be having a hospital in your house, basically. You know, you're not going into Northside. And maybe he shouldn't. But it's going to be about parallel system. And the people who are who don't have the means or the funds to pay extra money for really real health care are going to be stuck with Obamacare. Ask the people in the UK how they like that. The people who end up getting good health care timely are the ones who have money, who pay for doctors privately, or are able to leave the country completely. Same thing with Canada. That's why the United States was the place that people went to, because we had the best health care system, free market. Before the insurance companies had their hooks in it, it was reasonable. They only paid for catastrophic. They did not pay for every doctor visit, every Tylenol. You know, they didn't pay for that. And because of that, and because they figured out this is a major gravy train, because we can set the rules, deny care, just collect a premium, and no one's going to stop us, then it just got out of control. And the government now is paying them to do the same thing. But there's an end point to their existence, too. Because when the government decides we're done playing patty cake, we want to take over the entire system, they will be put out of business, too. We've seen that with smaller insurance companies being, you know, annexed by the huge companies. There's basically like four insurance companies in the country. Everybody else is a subsidiary or they're gone.
You know, Dr. Georgia, one thing, and this scares me too, is that you mentioned look at the UK. Well, yeah, you and I can back off and look at them. But I have a close friend that's from Britain, from London, and her family's very well-to-do, and she's now in the United States, just had a baby not too long ago. And I said, you know, what if you were in – what do you think of the medical system in the UK? Now, this is a very learned individual. She's got her degree in – anyway. And she said, well, you know, it's really great. We don't pay for anything. And I looked at her and I – you know, I'm not going to call her name, but – I looked at her and I said, you got to be kidding. You know, if you need a CAT scan, you could be waiting 5 months, 6 months, mm-hmm. a year. You could have a brain tumor that you're dead before you get the CAT scan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, no, they take care of you better than – my point being is they've been brainwashed, just
sure.
like the government's trying to do to us. Is
well, she can't be that brainwashed because she's having a baby in the United States, so she's not
well,
that brainwashed.
Her husband's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah,
so
but
they
so,
back
well, hey, if it's so fabulous, why don't you fly back home and get it for free, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really. Ask her about the Liverpool pathway next time you talk to her. Okay, that's the euthanasia pathway, which means that the hospital, the doctor, decides this patient's not viable. We're just going to starve them and not give them any water until they're dead. A UK doctor wrote an article on that, and he couldn't stomach it anymore. That's why he had to out the whole system. That's what they do. Now we're getting a version of that with bioethics committees, and every hospital's got one, and they're trolling through the ICUs to decide whether or not heroic care gets done. And they're not asking the patient's family. They're just doing it. A little bit of extra morphine. I had a doctor on about a year ago who said a colleague of hers went on vacation. She had patients in the ICU. She came back. They were all dead. I mean, it's not funny. But they were all dead because people who were covering for her basically gave those guys morphine and just, you know, slipped them away. This is what doctors are doing. This is against the Hippocratic Oath to kill people, by the way. It is. But these medical students are not, some of them, are not taking the Hippocratic Oath anymore. So you start off a process of human life doesn't mean anything. We're not allowed to do abortions either under Hippocratic Oath, but that's also happening. And by the way, under Obamacare, which is illegal, another illegal thing, the government now pays for federal employees to have abortions. And we're paying for it because we subsidize 70% of their premium. What is wrong with these people? And the fact that they're making people with ethical, moral, religious objections complicit in this is wrong. It's nothing good about that. I take issue with that. But they're just giving you the overview. It's free. It's great. No, it's not. You are actually paying for humans to be killed. You are paying for whether they're alive or whether before they're born. Do you really want that on your conscience? Do you really think that that's a good thing? Is that really being selfish to say, I don't want to do that? I don't think it is. And I think the people who get on TV and try to demonize people who are thinking, who are critical thinkers, who actually do love humanity and have a conscience, then they need to be removed. They need to be talked down. They need to be shouted down because what they're saying is just ridiculous. I don't even have to even say this with a straight face.
I'm just wondering, in what you were just saying, are medical schools now having a class that says you are a miniature god and it's you're going to decide life or death now? You know, I know when you went to medical school, you were taught do everything you can
sure.
to preserve life.
Everything.
But do you know if some medical schools are teaching this? That
I don't know if it's as hardwired as that, but it is. It's more of the Milgram mentality, the Milgram experiment, where some authority figure tells you to do something that's harmful. But because you were told to do it, you just do it. Because I don't have to take responsibility because someone told me to do it. So it's a psychological indoctrination. And then everybody around you says it's okay. So you're in this bubble where you don't have a compass of what's right or what's wrong. Then it's okay. They did it in Nazi Germany. They've done it all through totalitarian societies. And you want to be liked. You want to be part of the group. I have no interest in dealing anything with herd mentality. It's usually taking you to your doom. I've never seen it work well. Be an individual, and that means as a patient. And I had patients who've seen me yesterday, thank God. They wanted a second opinion because they weren't happy with what they were told. We need to actually start doing that in all aspects of our life. If Congress says something that doesn't make sense, call your congressman and say, are you serious? I won't be voting for you. They live for the vote. They live for you not to pay attention so they can do whatever the hell they want and then tell you how great it is for you. Well, start thinking. You don't have a job or you've got downsized. You're struggling to make your mortgage. I can list probably a million things that are common in our country right now. If Congress is not working for you, they're working against you. That's all you have to see it. That, to me, that's very straightforward. Either you're for me or you're against me. And if you're for me, then you should be doing what I ask you to do. That's your job. I voted for you to do what I want you to do. And you're not. You're doing the bidding of the UN. You're kowtowing to Obama and his bully tactics. And basically, all you care about is getting back in for a second or third or, God forbid, 10th term. Next week, what we're going to talk about is how you get out of the system. I didn't get a chance to get there, but if people go to healthcare.gov, then there's a whole list of exemptions, which actually they're pretty decent. You might be able to opt out without having to pay a fine.
As always, Dr. George, we appreciate it. We look forward to Medicine On Call next week on America's Web Radio. Stay tuned for more great programming after this. Are you-